This message by John Robert Stevens was recorded in a church service and is titled, Continuing in the Apostles' Teaching.
Acts, the second chapter, verse 41. So then those who had received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls, and they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching. The first thing, to the apostles' teaching. And to fellowship, second, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. And they began selling their property and possessions, were sharing them with all, as anyone might have need. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. Very, very good word. The picture of the early church is a picture of the church in its purity. From there on, history begins to reveal things that are off, they're wrong. To read the apostles' preaching, Acts the second chapter, how much he quotes from the scripture, the book of Joel. But as he said, this is that which Joel spoke of, and he brings in the scriptures. That sermon in the second chapter of the book of Acts is filled with references, allusions to the scripture of the Old Testament. But anyone prior to that day who had read the book of Joel would never have been able to say, this is what's going to happen. And when it happened, they would have never in 100 years thought, well, this is Joel's prophecy. It took the anointing of the Holy Spirit on an apostolic ministry to interpret the word and to bring it forth into that word that was right there for them. Now, it's true the Holy Spirit had hid it in the Old Testament all those years. And it's true that the basic foundation of our faith has to be in the scriptures. You understand this? We're not putting down the scriptures, but we're getting to something else. When the apostles brought their doctrine, it was the early church continued in the apostles' doctrine. The apostles' doctrine was the revelation teaching from the scriptures. Amen. Revelation teaching from the scriptures. Keep that very much in your mind now. What happened to the church later? Along about, was it 325 AD, you have Council of Nicaea, and you have the bishops and all of them gathering together to determine what should be considered the sacred canon from now on. What will we call the New Testament teaching? And the church, by this time, had already reached a place where the church claimed to be the authority, not the scriptures. You follow? Actually, it was a distortion of what had started out. Continuing in the apostles' doctrine was revelation teaching of the scriptures. All right. Now, keep this very much in your mind, because from the first divine order, you go immediately into a false order. And I've gone to a Catholic university, so I know what I'm talking about. I was fed a lot of this. The church is the authority, they claim. The Bible is the word of God because the church says so. The church was the ones that determined what was going to be in the New Testament and what would not be in the New Testament. And they claim you have a Catholic Bible. Now, in one sense, they're correct, because that's exactly what they did. And that's the false order, where we have a hierarchy that rules. But the scriptures, then, are secondary to the infallibility in all things of religion and morals that is laid upon the Pope. All right? Now you understand that. Then we have a false order. That's a distortion of the thing. That down through the years, that's why they didn't want people reading the Bible many times, because this was a source of heresy, that a man would read the Bible and interpret it for himself. So then here comes the Protestant Reformation, or revolt. They always called it in the university the Protestant Revolt. They didn't feel it was a reformation at all. The Protestants' revolt came, and immediately then they say here now that the authority is in the scriptures. And if it is not in the scriptures, then we don't want it in the churches. And therefore, we dump everything that is traditional in the Roman Catholic Church. Was they didn't dump everything. They did cling to a lot more than they should have. But they said, we're going to go back now and build our thing according to the scriptures. That's why John Knox was concerned about the presbyters. Hence, you have a Presbyterian church. And to tell you the truth, the Presbyterian form of church government comes closer to the scriptures than about anything that came along in the Protestants, among the Protestants. But now we're free. We don't have to believe exactly as the Pope says anymore. We can believe as the scriptures say. And that's just dandy. Now we go from false order to disorder. Because every Protestant church that comes along is interpreting it for itself. And you shop around till you find somebody that believes the way you think it ought to be. And then we come back now, the authority is your own human reasoning and interpretation of the scriptures. Not really the scriptures. Because the scriptures are not really the foundation until you get back to an apostolic revelation of what the scriptures teach. Now, people come in from all kinds of churches. All of them are unhappy with the fact that they say, well, we're teaching this and that and so forth. But you see, they miss it. The power is found in a living word. When you come back to the foundation of apostles and prophets who are expounding by revelation the word of God. Amen. You see, it has to be on that basis. Now, once you get that concept in your mind, you can understand what the restoration and what divine order really means. It's not that we say, well, I'm going to figure this thing out for myself. No, we're not. The Lord's going to reveal. So, all right, then, we'll go back to a pope. No, we won't. We're not going to have a pope. We're going to come under the anointing of the Holy Spirit as the early church did. What was it made them all speak the same thing? It was apostolic doctrine. Teachings. What's going to make us all see eye to eye and speak the same thing when the Lord brings again Zion as is prophesied? Not break ranks or thrust one another through. See eye to eye. What does that mean? We're going to understand it exactly together. How is that going to happen? Not the Protestant way of everybody figuring it out in his own mind. Not the Catholic way of saying, this is what the Pope says and you're bowed down to that. But it'll come about because divine revelation begins to illuminate the apostles and the prophets and the scriptures revealed again. The kingdom comes forth. We all rejoice in it. We have the witness. This thing that God has revealed, my spirit bears witness to it. It's a far superior thing that I submit to it in the name of the Lord and not lean upon my own understanding, but trust God to open up the word and reveal it to me. This, of course, is the only safe way. You either go to one extreme where somebody tells you exactly what to think, or you go to the other extreme where everybody thinks whatever they want to. That's the error of Protestantism. 1,000 different denominations. We don't want that either. So we try to get them all back together again. You chop off what you believed in doctrine here, and I'll chop off what I believe here, and we'll try to get together on some common ground or one thing we can believe. Yes? So, well, we believe in the Holy Bible. Mm-hmm. Cut out this and cut out that and cut out the other thing because everybody disagreed, you know. You got a Bible full of holes after a while. And he said, well, I believe in a holy Bible. We'll believe more and more and less until after a while we believe everything about nothing. So what are we going to do? We come back to another thing, and that is, Lord, this is the day of restoration. It's the day of divine order. How many got a blessing from this morning? Here pops up some fundamentalist. He said, well, we are Bible-oriented. So are we. Except we look for divine revelation in its interpretation. And you big lunkhead, just want to interpret to suit yourself. And think that you're being scriptural. The Pharisees did that in Jesus' day. That's right. That's right. They did that. In Jesus' day, they were so busy, all wrapped up in a mess. It was an unholy mess. They were so busy defending what they had that they didn't recognize the truth when it came. Is that right? This is something that you should really receive in your spirit.